Well, dear brethren, I want to just say that it is a blessing to come to this time of the day where we can come together and worship. Can you see, Sister Judy? Come together in worship. If you can't see, there are still some open spaces on this side of the room. So please avail yourself, because we're going to have a mix with some hymns up and some that we'll be singing, and we're going to be doing a few special things with this service that is entitled the evening service. That's the meaning of Vesper. And we sang this hymn, this beautiful hymn, 155, about the sound of many waters. The sound of many waters. That comes to us from Revelation 115. And let me just turn to that so we can read it together. It's a description of what it's like to see that which is in the heavenlies. Now, we're not going to start at we might as well start with 13. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, that's in the midst of the churches, was one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. So this is what you do when you're not in service, but you're in glory, because otherwise the girding is at the loins. His hair were like the hair, his head and his hairs were like white wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet was like fine brass, as they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. I have a thought on this text that's a little outside the envelope. But before I give you that thought, I would like us to sing one more hymn. This will be on the screen. It's the first hymn in our hymn book. And I'm going to ask for you to do something special as you sing this hymn. Some of you can sing in parts. But for this hymn, I would like everybody to sing the melody. And in fact, in our little class in Milwaukee, and I had the picture of our brethren in June, those that could make it for the picture, because there's even more. But we sing, our choir group sings without the use of an organ. And I was thinking, you know, everybody knows this hymn so well, they could sing it without a keyboard or Sister Virginia accompanying us on the violin. But we're not going to do that. But what I'm going to ask is that, and there's a specific purpose for this, that we all sing the melody line together for the first verse. I would like just the sisters to sing the melody line for the second verse. Just the brothers to sing the melody line for the third verse, and then all of us to sing together again for the fourth verse. And with that, we would like to go and sing Abide, Sweet Spirit. Let's see. There we go.
Thou art guardian, thou.
Which is sometimes called the Old 100th, is the way in which the various songs you find in Revelation are structured. The term, to be technical for those of you taking notes at this late time, is a spondee. This is this is the type of structure that you have. One note, one note, one note, one note. And we all sing it together. We all sing the notes together because the development of harmony and counterpoint comes later. So when John would have heard the heavenly choir singing most of the hymns, they would have been very similar. They, of course, the Greeks use the same scale. For those of you keeping, I've got a music professor in the audience, so it wasn't tempered, but it was an 8-tone scale. And it would be very much like this first hymn. But you're saying, you know, that's not the way most of our hymns sounded. And so this is, thinking about that and thinking about the development of this beautiful gift of singing in harmony, a gift that means the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. In the beginning, we each had our own voice to abide, sweet spirit, heavenly dove, and that's beautiful. But we weren't singing in parts. And when we do that, I think this was something that John would never have heard. And when he heard hymns sung that way for the first time, what would he have described it as? The sound of many waters. That's what I believe this is referring to. And so maybe you agree, don't agree, but it's a little outside the envelope, but I love music passionately. And this is a wonderful gift that we can give to our brethren by singing. And all of us can work at singing and improving our voices. Some, God has given a gift of a beautiful voice. In some cases, well, maybe it's not so beautiful. But you know, that doesn't matter. It's what we try to do with what's in our hand. And this is a gift. This is a gift we can give each other. Don't consider singing that drudgery that you have to do before you can get started on prayer and the study, okay? This is an important part of what is worship. And it is in my heart. When I have challenges, and as my dear wife could tell you, I have challenges, all the time. It's like I love to reflect and think about the hymns coming into my mind, because I really have, I can really think, I think the term is automatic negative thoughts, and, you know, they come real easily to me, and what I like to do is put something positive in its place, which is the memory of these hymns. And so I wanted to open with that hymn on the sound of many waters and that beautiful hallelujah section that's at the ending, and then contrast that with what would have been typical for John to hear. And just another strange thing to me, you know, when you think about singing in the heavenly courts, look up tabrets and pipes if you have a King James Bible, and look that up in your concordance and follow that through, because that would not be the first thing that would leap to my mind as the sort of music in the heavenly courts, but it's spoken of as being in the heavenly courts, so it must be there. What precious promises we have in our Lord's words. When Jeremiah had to serve as a prophet, it was at a very troubled time. For Israel, it was a time of trouble that was going to result in the destruction of a temple that had been consecrated by God himself when Solomon brought everybody together for dedication and the fire came and the smoke came from God. And he said, though, to the children of Israel, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you know not. But we're not to remain unknowing of those things. And that's why we come together, brethren. And that's why, for this period of time, I want you to work with me to sing together. And there's a tradition that has passed by the wayside, but it's throughout world culture, that when you had the heavy, hard work going on, everybody sang together. They sang together. And if you go back into the folk music of all cultures, you'll find that there's beautiful melodies. It could be everything from the Song of the Volga Boatmen, and I am an aficionado of Russian liturgical music, amongst many other musical types. It could be something as lovely as some of the sea shanties sung in the British Navy. But we have a work that is different from that. And our work is the work of sharing the good things that the Lord has shown to us, to try to give those forward as best we can to whoever has a hearing ear. And so with this encouragement to sing as the sound of many waters, I would like for us to raise our voices together in parts. Of course, if you don't know parts, sing the melody. But if you do know parts, sing the parts to the work. Don't you feel like going out and just wanting to share the blessings after that? And doesn't it feel good to hear your brethren raising their voices together in worship, in labor, in work? And we were just showing so few of the many examples of what the brethren are doing in various ways. And we can all help. We can be there to be an encouragement to our brethren, to help lift up their arms the way Moses needed to have his arms lifted up. We can be there as prayer warriors. Our brethren need our support in the work. And I think when I was thinking of the expressions that Brother David Duran was presenting, and I think in my tapestry of a brother that many here would know, which is Brother Peter Kalaman, who strongly encouraged not that you just have others do the work, but that you get out there on your own two feet and do the work. But we need each other for the encouragement, and we need each other for that sound of the many waters. Who do we have in that work? We have our brethren that we can see. But we also have our Heavenly Father, the Lord. It is He that doth go with thee, and He will not fail thee nor forsake thee, even when our store seems small. And because of this, we know that the way we follow is the way in which He leads us. And I think that for those who have been a few years in the way, and for those that have been many decades in the way, were you to say, did you know what your consecrated walk would be like when you gave your heart to the Lord? When you forsook sin, when you forsook self, when you said, for me to live is Christ. And I think of a young sister, probably because I liked her at the time, but I think of a young sister who said that, oh, she just does, you know, when she was immersed, well, she just had to be faithful from that point forward, which is true. But she's had quite a life experience since then. And I think that would be the testimony of all of us, that we have had quite a life experience. But we also have quite a guide to that life experience, for we have a Savior with us who is leading. Let's be the sound of many waters for this hymn, All the Way My Savior Leads Me.
Jesus, and with all things well.
Children came to Jesus. He wasn't frightening. He certainly wasn't giving discourses about the nuances of the Greek. He was there for people. And he was there as somebody we know who was an elder brother, literally to a family that had three younger brothers and at least two or more sisters. So he was used to having children and caring for children. And he was good at it. He was good at everything, of course. You know, I mean, Jesus was good at everything. But I don't know if we think of how good he was with children. And we need to be followers of Christ in that respect. But the way is not always a way of pleasure. It is a way that sometimes has pain associated with it. Of course, none of us is likely to ever be crucified as our Lord was. But facing all the trials, the tribulations, the persecutions, for the Apostle Paul to say these words to the Corinthian brethren, that our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Brethren, even looking at the longevity of our days, and I think of Brother John T. Reed, who is the oldest brother in the truth that I'm aware of. I believe I think there may have been one sister who was older than 105, but I believe he was 105 when he passed away. He sang for Pastor Russell. And in the 1980s, Sister Sue and I had the privilege of visiting him a few times because he lived in the same house in Chicago since 1902. So it had been a while. And this is, by human standards, 100 years is long. But what is that in the light of eternity? What is that in the light of eternity? And I need to remember that personally, brethren, you know, when I get into situations that are stressful. I'm not retired yet. Who knows what's going to happen with the economy? Maybe I'll find myself retired. But at the moment, I'm working, and it's stressful. And whether you're working or not working, we all need to recognize that the world is not a friend to sanctification. The world is not a friend to thankfulness. But we have the encouragement of our Heavenly Father. We have the encouragement of the promises. And one of the things that I hope all of us keep close in our reading is just the Great and Precious Promises booklet. That is absolutely one of my favorites. And as, again, the thought that Brother David brought out on bringing before the Lord a promise in prayer. Because the Lord will act in accordance with His will. He doesn't always act on our timetable. He really doesn't. And that is the hard part. That is the hard part. Not the Lord's answer, because that's certain. It's just that we, you know, would like instant relief. Okay, this is a society that wants to take and have problems immediately taken care of. I think 15 minutes with a psychologist on Oprah, you know, used to be able to fix up a family problem. I mean, that's nonsense. And that's not the way the Heavenly Father treats the afflictions, because what are we pictured as when we get to the Ezekiel temple picture? We are the fine-grained olive wood, the slow-growing wood. And we do have afflictions. And we, of course, know that each of the 12 gates into the New Jerusalem is through pearl, that beautiful organic gem, the only gem that comes from inside a living creature, but it comes from affliction. And our light affliction, which is but for a moment, what it works out in us, brethren. That doesn't make it easier to be in the afflictions. And what a blessing we have by the rich treasure of hymns that are an encouragement to us in affliction. But we have a message that the world is waiting for. A message of this old order going out the door. We learned in the last election that people thought having change was a good thing. I'm not being politically whatever, but I mean, you know, that was certainly on the agenda. And people do want change. They don't know what they're looking for is the kingdom. But we do. We do know that. What a blessing to share that. So let's sing this hymn together about Christ is come.
Glorious proclamation.
okay, I didn't know what to do on the chorus, so for those of you who weren't close to the screen, I put up clouds, because he comes in the clouds until the last one, when every eye can see him. So that was the thinking behind that. If it was maybe too subtle, I don't know. But and when the burden seems heavy, and we do have the Lord with us, he wants us to bear our burdens. And that's scriptural. It's also scripture that we bear one another's burdens, and those scriptures are juxtaposed. Both of those thoughts are correct. We should be doing both of those to help our brethren, recognizing that they've got trials, and at the same time recognizing that for their development, the Lord has brought these burdens as well. But the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And think about the time in which that scripture was given. The exiles had returned, but there was opposition on every side. There was really, you know, a question: without faith in the Lord, would the project go forward? But what can't ever be changed is the decision we make in our hearts as to what our attitude and response is going to be. And if our response is whatever the Lord may permit, the joy of the Lord is our strength, we're going to be strong Christians. And that wasn't even given to the Christian church, brethren. But we do have our cross. We have the symbol of the cross and crown in front of us. And that's a whole discourse in its own right. But we're told by our Lord that if we do not take our cross daily and bear it, we are not worthy of Him. So this is our experience. And I find this hymn an encouragement. This is one of my favorites. Blessed Jesus, grant us strength to take our daily cross, whate'er it be. Let's sing that together. For it is the Father's good pleasure That's what the Father wants to do. It's His good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Fear not, whatever the cross may be. Brethren, it has been a blessing to share together with you at this service. Sing with passion. Sing in the morning. Sing at the noontime. Sing in the evening. And have the songs in the night when you are in those fretful waking hours of the morning. If you have fretful waking hours, I know I frequently wake up during the night, so I like to meditate on the hymns. May the Lord add His blessing.